He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, oh, man, we gotta figure this out.
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
It's that time of the season. It's NFL season. It's Chiefs season. So it's Derek Johnson season. Brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member-owned, open to all. Community America Credit Union, invested in you. We are now joined by Chiefs linebacker and great Derek Johnson. Can I start off with a little bit of a hot topic, DJ, if you're okay with it? What was your opinion of Drew Tranquil getting in the ass of Chris Jones at the end of that game?
As being a linebacker, first of all, we control a lot of things on the defense side of the ball, not just Nick Bolton, but when you're a linebacker. And it's nothing personal. It's one of those things where it's a frustrating moment. But, again, it's communication between teammates, and it gets heated at times, just like family members. But I'm sure it was nothing taken out of context or off the field, but yeah, it was a little heated moment that the TV caught on site. But it is what it is, right? We all have a job to do, and we want to hold each other accountable. And I'm sure Chris Jones he's the best defensive lineman in the NFL. Currently, and just being able to do his job and stay outside, maybe contain more or be more aware of the coverage in the back end, knowing that you can't give up. You got to keep the quarterback in the well, and that was a big, big play at the end of the game that we needed to happen for us.
You know, I immediately thought of you when that play happened, DJ, because I remember conversations over the years in the locker room where you're like, man, I got to do my job. The minute I start trying to do somebody else's job, now we got two people not doing their job. And that's kind of what that reminded me with Chris Jones. Like, he was trying to do somebody else's job, didn't do his, and zoop, 13 yards later, the game's over.
Yeah, and that's a tough lesson to learn. It is the first game of the year, so you have some uncharacteristic things that happen. Because we never have that problem with Chris. That's not a thing. You know, he can rush inside or outside and still keep contained. But in critical moments, you got to be even more detailed. And I'm sure he's kicking his butt more than anybody else is.
When you watch that game and you see Juwan Taylor constantly getting flagged, and then again we see Travis Kelce kind of pulling out his inner Drew Tranquil, Travis Kelce and Mahomes kind of have that clout where someone's not doing their job, they can kind of get in the ear hole and be like, hey, pick it up. When you see a guy like Juwan Taylor and then you see that interaction between he and Travis Kelce, I'm on Team Travis because it's like, hey, man, you are costing us in crucial times. And sometimes, you know, when I was a kid and I'd mess around too much, my dad would have to get that dad voice. We all know what that dad voice is, right? Where you get a little bit deeper and you got to let your kid know, like, hey, this is serious. This is what I want you to understand this. Like, that's what that moment was, right? Because, like, that sort of stuff just can't happen, DJ.
It's probably self-inflicting wounds. Football's already hard. So when you have self-inflicted wounds and certain things that happen where you say, man, we got too many things to get done and the chemistry's got to get going and the flow of the offense and the defense has to go. So when you make, I would say, silly mistakes on the field, which happens, right? You know, it's never going to be perfect, but especially in crucial times, especially when you start slow like we did offensively and then going down the stretch when you have 10 penalties, that's not what Andy Reid team does. And it was a little frustrating at times. There were some good spots in there. It wasn't all bad, but we started too slow. And then when you do that, everything else is really crucial because you can't mess up anymore because you started so slow.
Yeah, you start slow, and then eventually you're just going to run out of time, and that's kind of what happened with them, you know, the other night. So how do you start fast, both on offense and defense? And I honestly, DJ, I can't believe we're having to have that conversation about a team that's been to the AFC Championship game for the last 7 years, like getting better starts in games, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would – if we had this talk before the game started, I would say, no, we'll start fast. That's just, you know, we'll be ready to go. But, again, you know, you travel internationally. You're over in Brazil. Not that they were there too long, but it's just it's different. It's very different. They had to wait all day. I think it was 8 or 9 o'clock when they actually started the game over there in Brazil. But, honestly, third downs was a big deal. Just making more emphasis on third down. I don't think we had a converted third down the first half, which is, you know, and we still had a chance to win the game. So that tells you that, hey, when we do the things that we usually do over the last past 6-7 years or whatever, this is going to be a team to be reckoned with. This doesn't scare me any. Divisional games are always tough. The only disappointing part is just starting slow, and now everything is backed up. Now on defense, hey, Chris Jones, you can't, you know, we need to get the ball back because we started slow, or you know, we haven't been, we got to convert more third downs in the second half, and now the pressure's even more. Now you got to have Pat Mahomes put on his cape because, you know, not running the ball as well, and it's just, you know, Worthy got hurt, so Juju and Brown did well, though. Did really well. Probably got to get Kelce ball a little bit more, but 10 catches for Hollywood Brown, which was pretty awesome.
When you look at this game, that we got to throw that game away. It's a loss. It's on your record for the rest of the season, no matter how you look at it. There's a red L next to that week one schedule. You got a big, bad Philadelphia team coming into Kansas City at 3:25 on Sunday here in Kansas City, and I hate to break it to the fans, but that quarterback that they have is a little bit more mobile than Justin Herbert. They got some big targets at wide receiver that were disappointing in that Dallas win. Got to start fast is what you said. How do you start fast against that Philadelphia defense and that Philadelphia offense?
Yeah, we're at home, so we'll be rocking. This is not going to be a problem. We got all the pieces. We are one of those fortunate teams where we can do anything we need to do to run to win the game. If we can't run it as well, we'll pass it. You know, if you're covering up our receivers, Pat's going to run it, and he's pretty good at running the ball, believe it or not. And defensively, our characteristic the last 2 or 3 years is we're a defensive team. So, but in Arrowhead, we're probably even better. So with that 12th man yelling behind us, that sea of red, it's going to be a good look. I'm looking for us to come out swinging, and it'll be a close game, obviously. But I feel like we bounce back in Arrowhead, and this is a Super Bowl rematch.
All right, DJ, we'll see if that happens this week against those Philadelphia Eagles, and the revenge tour continues, and the revenge game is Sunday at 3:25. We appreciate the time. Hopefully they get started fast, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right, y'all, take it easy.
See you, DJ. I had somebody reach out to me yesterday, and I don't know that I'm ready to make this leap yet, but I'm sure a lot of Chiefs fans are. I had somebody tell me, well, now it's a must-win on Sunday.
Can I ask a somewhat sarcastic question?
Sure.
Will you still have 35-0 Chiefs on
Sunday? Yeah, of course. Okay. That never Always. Changes. Always. Come on now. That
they're not going 17-0. Way to ruin my season-long bet.
I'm sure there were people out there that were saying that it's my fault that they lost because I said they go 17-0 and 35-0. But, I mean, is it a must-win game? No, but does it yes. I mean, it's the NFL, right? I mean, you lose a game in the NFL, and it's like, oh, my God, all hell's going to break loose. That's why I tell baseball fans all the time, stop watching baseball like you watch the NFL. You've got one game a week in the NFL. But, you know, the 0-2 start, teams making the playoffs, not the best. And so I understand why people would feel that way going in. But, my God, if they do lose this game to the Eagles, people could be jumping off that ship fast here in Kansas City, aren't they?
That was Derek Johnson, brought to you by Community American Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, Community Credit Union, invested in you. Mac, it is that time of the day where everybody that drops their kids off at school, they love this segment because they love you more than they love us. So let's get into one word.
one word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
All right, a loaded one word after what was a packed NFL and football weekend. Woo!
Go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go.
Hey, do you say Pat or Pack?
Pack.
Both.
Yeah, I mean, Bills are winning the Super Bowl. Chiefs aren't making the playoffs, and the Packers are going to be an NFC championship.
Damn right.
And Aaron Rodgers is back.
He never left.
Yeah.
You know what? You did that, so let's hear from Aaron Rodgers. They beat the Jets 34-32. Yes. It was the game of the day until Sunday night. We'll get to that game as well.
You spoke about the meeting with Aaron Glenn
on this.
Beating him, is there significance in that since he basically told you to your face that he didn't think you were right for that team?
Yes, that's what he did.
So there's significance in beating him for you?
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
I love it. I like that a lot.
Oh, Team Rodgers all of a sudden.
No, I'm not Team Rodgers. I will say... fun. Sports needs stuff like that. I hate the political correctness, always talking up a team, always saying nice things. That's real human emotion right there from Aaron Rodgers. Have you ever been in a spot where somebody told you they didn't want you anymore? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is, it's the worst feeling in the world. And regardless of what Aaron Rodgers has accomplished in his career, how much money he's made, being told that somebody doesn't want you anymore stings. I like the revenge for Aaron Rodgers. That's human, man. That's a human reaction that he had.
And your one word again is what?
Fun.
Fun. Interesting, because I'd like to know how long that reporter had that question in the holster.
Well, since Aaron Rodgers was cut.
Yeah.
It's in March.
And he, so it's interesting. I don't mind it. I think that's great audio there from Lord Baelish of the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. Because I wonder if that question gets brought up in 7 weeks when they play the Packers on October 26th. Mm-hmm. Sunday Night Football, Pittsburgh, Green Bay.
How did it end there? Does anybody really? I mean, it's been so long now.
They drafted Jordan Love. They said, you're out the door.
But he
was there for two or three years.
Two or three years with Love, right?
Won two MVPs. I'd say it ended
It ended the same way it ended with Brett Favre. They drafted his replacement. They let him kind of marinate in the system, understand it. And it was like the writing was on the wall. Like, hey, in 2 years, we're going to move on to this guy and we're going to let you go. And
was it nasty though? Like it was, and the Jets was nasty. There's no doubt. For both sides.
Yeah, he's acting like it was one side. Hey, dude, you had the coaches fired. You had them bring all your friends, and then you lost every game, and you act like you were the one who was right.
Well, you also said you would like to have a guy tell you face to face whether you're going to be there or not.
Right, and he did
face to face, and now you're pissed. Come to you went to him.
Right, and now you're mad that you had to fly there on a private jet. No, I like it. I love the way he manipulates things. It's good for the league.
That was my one word: manipulate.
Yeah, it's good for the league. I really like it. He's a prominent figure. We pay attention to it, but I'm just wondering, like in Green Bay, I don't think it ended obviously like it did with the Jets. They kind of knew it was going to end. I wonder if there are hard feelings there. There probably are. It's again human nature, you know.
Got to be hard feelings for the Ravens last night. Oh boy.
It's up for a game winning field goal from 32 yards. Prater made it. And the Bills open their final season in this stadium with a stunning comeback win.
Came down 15 points, came back down from 15 points in the final 3 minutes and change. 41-40 final. Buffalo wins.
NFL is my one word because that is as NFL as it gets. My wife yelled at me last night for turning the game off 40-25. I said, it's over. I'm going to bed. This is not past. Oh, my God. I woke up to a text from Kurt Nelson saying, I can't believe they gave up 40 and won a game. I'm like, oh, my God. They came back and won that game. So NFL, to me, just when you think you got this thing figured out, you don't.
Historic. I think I saw True Green Thumb, our buddy, tweeted out, that's the first time in NFL history a game has ended 41-40.
That's crazy to me.
Never had an ending like that. Another word you can say is chiefed, right? Not because I was in the garage,
But that was the way the Chiefs always beat people. Yeah. When you think it's over,
yep.
Here comes that MVP quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, that just rips your heart out and gives it to Harrison Butker at the end of the day. Josh Allen did all of that. 40-25, 3:59 left in the game. Willed his team back, was the absolute hero, almost over 400 yards. Rushed a touchdown, threw some touchdowns, looked like him.
He looked great.
Look out. Buffalo is on their own revenge tour for the seventh year in a row.
Are they ever going to get that guy any help, though? I mean, like, it feels like Josh Allen has to do everything by himself.
Right. Keon Coleman looked good.
Yeah.
That was a good day for him from the second
receiver.
You
know what also helped Josh Allen that game? This is weird. You know what helped Josh Allen that game? An elusive running back that can do it all.
Great offensive line.
Crazy that we were talking about that the day after the Super Bowl. You know the Chiefs haven't won since the early part of February? Crazy.
No, January.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
January.
Yeah, they lost every preseason game. Yep. They lost the Super Bowl, and they lost this game.
I mean, yeah. I mean, my goodness.
They're cooked.
If you're Clark Hunt, you got to do soul searching today, I'm sure.
Royals are two games out playing Cleveland tonight, 5:40.
How you doing? Mike Parsons, game-sealing sack in his first ever game as a Green Bay Packer.
Twist, another twist. You go up, under, and look at
the effort, better call here.
The speed, the closing ability, the bend. Micah Parsons, you're in Green Bay, and they are happy.
And?
Number one for number one.
Okay.
Gosh, they're so cheesy. Packers look
great.
Yeah,
but you like it.
It's fun.
It's like a Hallmark movie. Why not watch this?
Bending. Oh, my gosh, Jim.
That's a good one word to use. Hallmark movie, like predictable. You know, like you just knew Micah Parsons was going to do something big. You knew he was going to have his moment. That's the way the NFL works, man. You see those moments. Last night, you see Josh Allen, the guy that they're trying to get to take over for Patrick Mahomes, have the night that he had, the biggest trade that we've seen in the NFL in years. He has a big-time sack last night. I love that stuff. Dude, like, I don't mind Hallmark movies. I can't believe I said that out loud. You know what's going to happen. You feel good. That's the NFL. You were waiting for that moment for that one player, and we got it last night from Micah Parsons, and we got it from Josh Allen. So that was fun.
My one word here is parody. Dallas was one defensive player away from stopping Jalen Hurts run all over them in that defensive unit. We saw the trade details. They were just like, here's a first, second, third, first. Here's the rest of our history in drafts. We just want Micah Parsons. Absolutely not. How did Green Bay close that game out? Micah Parsons sacked Jared Goff, who was trying to squiggle away from him. Didn't happen. Green Bay won because they had a big defensive play from a big defensive player. Parody.
Friday Chiefs game, one word.
Over.
I mean, honestly, the season, the game.
No, the game. It's over. We move on. And I think they got a pretty good wake-up call. We're not the only ones that know they need to run the football more. We're not the only ones that know number 74 is not very good right now. We're not the only ones that know Xavier Worthy got blown up by a Mack truck. I mean, it looked like the Limu Emu commercial where the guys tackle each other on the field. So everybody knows what's going on. They're not sitting around waiting for us to bring the heat on Monday morning and Andy's taking notes. Well, I better fix this because Bob and Dusty said so. You know, they know what's going on.
My one word for that Chiefs game is sucked.
Big bundle of suck, Dustman.
Yeah, big bundle of suck because it looked like the first
Maybe
half.
Maybe found him recently. Is he all right?
I think he's fine. He was here
I
Sunday
talked to
morning,
him yesterday.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, we talked Chiefs.
He was ripping the takes on Sunday morning.
Okay, good.
But no, I would say that game sucked. It was deflating. It was terrible. It looked a lot like the Super Bowl in the first half.
Felt like it.
The Worthy injury, you could tell, like, sent a shockwave.
Well, they had a lot in for Worthy, dude. Like the whole playbook was, like, dedicated to Worthy for that first game, and then he's taken out.
Yeah.
One word on the Royals weekend. Two games out.
I wish they would have won yesterday.
5-1 loss yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday stunk. But, hey, look, you're two games out, and we're sitting here on the 8th of September. Keep going, man. And now you got a big series with the Guardians, and then after that you got a big series with the Phillies.
My one word is confused.
That's a good word to
because
use.
I don't understand. And again, I'm not calling out Hugh here, so I don't want to sound this way, but like Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione, obviously we know who they are, the Carter Cags connection, they're best friends. They came up together again when they expanded the rosters. They played a right-handed pitcher yesterday, and they came off a night where Cags looked great. Jensen had his first hit, first RBI. That was special. And then you get a right-handed pitcher in a playoff race, and they don't play at all. Like, Cags gets a pinch hit, and it's a 13-pitch at-bat walk. Like, why aren't they in there against the righty? I'm so confused by that. Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. I mean, you have two left-handed bats in there that have been a little bit of a spark in the game before, and you got a chance to sweep the Twins to be one game out. And you saw what Seattle did yesterday. They won like 18-7 or
they
something like that.
They just scored again. Yeah, yeah. Big dumper just hit another.
So now you get Cleveland Monday, Tuesday.
The Seahawks yesterday.
Yeah, they did. How many NFL teams scored less than the Mariners yesterday? Detroit definitely did. The Texans definitely did. The Browns, the Bengals.
Man, the Bengals. Whew.
I mean, who else is on that list?
Giants.
No, what? Yeah, the Giants are on that list. That's five off the top of my head NFL teams that scored less than the Mariners did yesterday.
Yeah, which is crazy. You can't give up 27 because only six teams scored 27 or more, which is crazy. And two of them were in one game, Jets Steelers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nuts.
A lot of work to do.
Yeah, they got a lot of work to do. It almost felt like, too, just like going back to that last play and seeing Chris Jones. Like, it looked like a kid that was so excited for an opportunity, he didn't care. He was just excited to be on the field. And that can't happen. Like, and I would imagine after, okay, you got that first game jitters out of your system, maybe kind of reset everybody, like, oh my God, we need more effort. We need to be better. We just can't throw our helmets out there. I know there was a lot of disappointed people in the locker room, you know, after the game. A lot of players were not happy from what I understand about what went on the field. So hopefully all of that, having the long weekend, kind of sparks everybody and kind of resets their body, if you will, you know, and they need that. They need a body resetting. I think there was a little bit of fool's gold, but again, with this team, the fool's gold I'm talking about is you had a game plan that was designed for number one.
Yeah.
And then number one gets taken out on the third play and it changes everything. And the difference is when your number one receiver went out last year, you had number one to step up. Your number one receiver's already out for 6 weeks, and then the guy that was going to step up gets injured on the third play. Now you're talking about your third best wide receiver legitimately being your best wide receiver. It's hard.